HIF or New Homes Land money so that that pool will always be that pool, because that pool is available for everyone in the county to utilize as far as the board is concerned, right? So what we're saying is that we are happy that this particular project is in front of the board for approval, but if you would like to do this and you need, and in this case you need this money in order to make this project work, that the administration would advance the capital budget amendment to add in additional money into the pool for New Homes Land in this case.
Do you want to add the additional money into which project?
Into the New Homes Land project, whatever
it's,
number it is.
It's already in there, so.
No, you're missing what I'm saying. We already understand that there's a dollar amount in there, right? So if it's, let's use a $1 million, because that's a nice round number, right? There's $1 million in this pool of money, but that money is eligible for every project throughout Westchester County,
okay,
be it stipulation or not. What we're not going to do, at least from the proposal, is not to do,
it
is not to reduce the amount of money available for other fair and affordable housing projects that are not stipulation connected in order to make this particular thing work. We put aside $50 million for stipulation projects, and by the way, we had the letters from the Justice Department that said we would not have to put in any more. In order to make certain projects work, obviously, we may need to do some additional things, and we're happy to have that discussion at the table at the time. For this project, that there's $1.6 million of New Homes Land being requested to be utilized, and the suggestion again was that add that money in, have a capital budget amendment to add in additional dollars into that project so we're not reducing the pool for everyone else, which by the way has been happening on other projects where there's been a determination by the administration, not by the board, that we do not want to support HIF or New Homes Land funding for projects like, you know, Academy Place, LaPorte and Mount Vernon, Grayston and Yonkers, etc., right? That were already on our list. That's what the point is.
I think I understand.
We're looking to replenish the funds withdrawn. To make it exactly clear, at least from my point of view, it's a replenishment rule. That's what we want. Is that, does the administration accept what we're talking about? Do you understand what we're talking about?
So you're saying New Homes Land is capital project BPL 10. You're saying if we have, say, $1 million in there now, and we now want to use, or say we have $10 million
yes.
in there now, and we want to use $1,659,000 for this, we need to add
$1,659,000
into that $10
exactly
million.
Right. Yes.
You want a capital budget amendment to add additional funds
that's
to BPL 10.
Correct.
That's okay. That's a policy question.
Yeah.
I understand.
You understand. All right.
And in this particular case, Mr. Chairman, I certainly would be happy after you have your questions that from other members to say that, you know, you could put it out of this committee with the proviso that we will receive that. And if we don't, then that, you know, that leaves the pressure on the administration to get it done. I'm not sure which.
I'm not sure how I'd word that, but yes. Okay, fair enough. Are you finished?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Williams.
No, my concern is that one as well. So.
Yes, it's the replenishment issue.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yes,
no, I have. I would like to thank the chairman as well as the developer for making my acquaintance with this area deep in the woods. And I rescind my comment from last time saying, but who would live here? I now see this. It could be a very good place to live.
Yes.
Applications are being accepted.
You are eligible under the finance rate of the AMI.
Fair enough. Mr. Rogowski.
Thank you. Just trying to understand the history. The original secret for this was done in May of 2000, right? Is there?
Correct. The original, and then there was an amendment done in 2001.
2001. So now, but there was phase one. Phase one was done in 08. I'm just saying it's like a long, it's a long history here, obviously, and I'm
yes.
not aware of it, but it's a long history. And that secret was done for housing development
yes.
back then. Yeah, so,
yes.
so this is 9 years in the 9 years in the making.
Several owners.
I see the zoning. I'm just trying to, my first question looking at it was why, for 91 units, you know, coming from Portchester, why 18.7 acres? Why do we have to purchase all this land for the 91 units? But I'm doing the math here. If the multifamily district zoning, the density is 7,500 square feet per unit, I take that's, then it does come out to a little over 17 acres. So it's, you know, the different worlds of Cortland than there is Portchester. So you need all 18 acres in order to get the 91 units, right. So it comes down to see.
Did we get, Mr. Chairman, did we get a copy of the loan agreement? I know this is kind of a unique and creative situation, and certainly we appreciate being creative, but the board would want to see.
I guess I thought wrong. Did we not receive that document?
We simply don't have time to produce it, and typically these are done in conjunction with the other financing that's going in. So once the approvals are in place, it's like the state's on the calls, the investors are on the calls, so whatever we prepared might still need to be tweaked. But the terms are mostly what you're interested in, and I think that's actually in legislation. The terms are a 30-year deferred loan at 0.25%. Which will then convert to an amortized 20-year mortgage at 0.25% for the remaining 20 years of the affordability term. So it is indeed structured as a loan, but because of the project financing, cannot afford to repay this loan during the first 30 years, but it's also paying off other mortgages. We stepped in and said, okay, then what we'll do is have you pay us back at starting year 31 through year 50.
Mitch, and the only thing I would say, we did request this to have a copy of that. I'm not sure, again, whether we have to make a modification in the legislation that would have it come back to this honorable committee to be able to see the terms, because the devil's in the details, as my good buddy Mr. Rogowski always says, as far as real estate is concerned, right? We're signing off on something that says it's a loan, and I'm...
Mr. Long, you said that this... agreement would in the process occur after all the approvals were in place, which means the vote by this body. And then you would write up the contract itself, not just a term sheet, but the actual contract. And that is the standard way that you do things? We've just never asked the question before.
Again, the other funders involved, have certain concerns in terms of what their financing is. Our agreements provide for all the terms that are inherent in here. But they might want to tweak a clause this way or that way. And sometimes, given the approvals we have, we can do it or we cannot do it. And that's essentially welcome to closing. And everybody puts their funding in. And if we were to prescribe what our approvals are in an agreement that could not be modified to accommodate a state need, for example, it would make it very difficult to go forward to closing. So again, we put all the terms, all the requirements of the funding in the legislation. The contract itself, provides for more boilerplate language that covers the county. Is there another way of...
Well, I was going to say, can we put the proposed loan terms into the act, if that would help? Because now they're only in the committee report, so that's more of an advisory. I can put the terms into a section.
Would that be satisfactory? It sounds to me like that would solve the problem.
Right. Because right now we have nothing right now.
Well,
that says
the only CDBG loan contract templates that we have, because we do give CDBG funds for property improvement out as loans. We have one that's for a senior housing rehab, that's a deferred loan. And we do have one for a multifamily owner of rental housing, a deferred loan. But again, it's not going to have, it's our standard CDBG that says for rental, your units, only 51% of the units have to be eligible, up to 80% of median income, because that's the requirement for CDBG. So that's why, really with everything else required of the legislative package to put this together, Law Department just hasn't had the opportunity yet to put together a draft template, and our existing templates don't have
the
ability.
I'm misunderstanding. I mean, this is the first time, at least from my knowledge, on sitting on the committee for for three or so years, although people think I've been a legislator or a public official much longer. The reality is that this is the first time that you're doing this. Again, if it gets added into the language, that's fine, Mr. Chairman. If that's what the committee's feeling is, but it's got to be somewhere, right? Okay. Right.
Does any of us have any concerns about this particular mechanism? Okay, Marty.
I don't know. Is this still going to budget, or has this been through budget?
No, it has not been through budget.
Okay,
because there's just like Pelham before it. Okay. Budget deferred it, so we're going to be at budget on the morning of the 8th.
Okay, so then I can.
Well, if you wouldn't mind taking it here, budget's going to have a whole bunch of things to do in order to get it on the blue sheets.
Well, the project looks very good. I'm sure I want to be a supporter, but I'm just, again, going through these numbers. I'm sorry,
this is not on the subject that we just finished.
Oh, no, it's on the project, but not...
No, not on the subject we just finished. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, just, and maybe you can come back at the budget and maybe explain some of these things. In the construction, the $17 million construction, there's... You know, profit of $895,000. Then you have overhead general conditions. Then you have a whole bunch of fees. Cost of issuance is amazing. The financing fees, origination fees, annual fees, letter of credits. That's another like $900,000 of fees. It's hard to believe, but that is what it is. It is what it is. And it seems like an awful lot of fees into this thing. But then you have development fee, $3.8 million. And, you know, I understand it's a very good developer. Nothing against the developer. But if what's the number, $3.8 as a development fee, usually it's a percentage. And if you've got $900,000 of profit in the construction, then you have another $900,000 of fees. I hope we're not giving a development fee on a percentage of the fees. You know what I'm saying? I mean, which number are you using to create that $3.8 million development fee? Because you've already have profit built into the construction and all these fees. So what's the number you're using to pick your development fee? So that, I mean, you can answer that later. But just these numbers... Well, those origination fees are crazy.
Yeah, well, that's actually the state and the other issuers.
Why we can't get any housing done? There's all these origination fees.
But again, tax credit projects, as you've seen before, are very expensive to produce, and they only work on larger developments. And so when you can access those funds, I mean, on the flip side, the tax credit equity is nearly $10 million of the $30 million going in here. So, you know, the exchange is you're paying some amount of fees in order to leverage that kind of equity investment.
Right, those fees are there, but I hope we're not paying a development fee as a percentage of those fees. How did you come up with the 3.870?
It was negotiation, I think, between the developer, the state, and for our side, what we were looking at. The developer is leaving nearly $1 million as developer equity
Because the actual construction, including $900,000 as profit, is $17.3 million, and that includes $900,000 in profit. As I say, everyone should make some money on this deal. We want these things to happen. We want to encourage builders. I'm in favor of all that, but... At the end of the day, we have a limited amount of money to do 750 units. Mm-hmm. Got to make this go as far as possible.
The county's not funding any part of that fee. We're funding the land acquisition.
Well, I know, but it all goes to the total thing. And I'm saying on behalf of no one. That's part of this generally. You know, it's federal money, it's state money, so no one asks a whole lot of questions. Well, maybe we're just here at the county, but we still need to ask some questions. It's taxpayer money at the end of the day. So, again. I'm in favor of paying a development fee. I just want to know what it's based on. So if you can come back to the budget committee and explain all those numbers.
Okay, let's be prepared at budget to deal with Mr. Rogowski's points.
Two points.
Marty, you're
done? No, that's fine.
Okay, back to Mr. Jenkins. So round two, and then we're going to close this up.
That's fine. On a property improvement program listing that we have, we don't have the areas and the actual amounts of monies for the contracts. Can you add in the dates?
Actually, if you look at the contract number,
is that the date?
It's C67. That's the trust account number.
Right.
Then the next is the date. Is the year of CDBG funding? So 08, 07, 08, 06, 08, 09. That tells you what year it is.
Okay.
That's our standard contract format. Is I always know what year CDBG funding it is.
Okay, and it's short of an 05, where we utilized a large amount of money. We have never used over $250,000 ever.
In the last 5 years, mostly because when we did Stoughton House, it wiped out the account. And we then had to subsequently replenish that account with several years worth of allocations.
And in this case, the proposal is to use $1.6 million out of the 1.8 $8 million that's available.
No, this was $1.8 million that we spent on loans during five-year time period.
So, how much is there now?
Our current allocation is $1.9 million of what's available in our fund.
So it's $1.9 million that's available right now, and we're proposing to use 1.6 out of that, which would leave $300,000 to do what you've been looking like an average of $10,000 on a project after that. So in 2009, you look like you used $10,000 there, so you should have enough cushion in case something comes up, was really the real issue, is to say that if you're depleting it as we did in 2005, you know, we built up to a place that you didn't use that much money ever again because you don't want to deplete the whole funds in case of things come up for property improvement. How much requests do we have in the pipeline right now? Do we have things in the pipeline for property improvement program requests?
We have requests, and I can't honestly speak to how much they are, but it's nothing above the normal course of our business. But we do have other applications in for other rehabilitation funds. And so, you know, the big fund that we're working on right now is our, let's say, Westchester program, and our the weatherization assistance program, which we're focusing on right now, which is doing energy efficiency improvements at the larger buildings. So we're leveraging other funds for all of our rehab. We're not just, and the neighborhood stabilization program, actually.
And AHCs should be.
Right, AHC should act on.
It's a creative project, and we have got a lot of stuff going on here that's kind of pressing the envelope, which is fine, right? The question again is, you know, how much do we have in this pool, which is $1.9 million? We're going to use 1.6 on this particular project. The question again, in our current economic climate, with a lot of things going on as far as foreclosures, and that's the next press conference we're going to do in 2 minutes or so. Right, that is $300,000 enough to satisfy the request that you would need to take from the property improvement program, notwithstanding the availability of funds through the weatherization, et cetera. And that's, yeah, and I don't think we'd have that answer right now. Again, I think that would be something, I'm gonna write it down so that when you come to budget, that hopefully we can have an answer to that. So again, to understand when things are available. Second question, and then I'm done, Mr. Chairman, is that on the units, did we speak to the monitor in this particular case? Did we speak to the monitor? Okay. Okay. Did we speak to the monitor in general about the Did we speak to the monitor in general about having the ability on the units to have additional credit on the unit, because we did have that conversation, and this man and I were at the Council of Governments where we spoke about this, but we did speak about this around this table with the monitor himself during the time of the stipulation discussions, was that we might be able to have additional credits of units based on things that we have to do. In this case, we're doing $1.5 million in a treatment facility, right? Because it's the northern part, it's not even northern where we don't have a sewage treatment plant. This area is just not sewered, right? So we asked did you ask the monitor about having additional credits for units because of the additional cost? Because the cost, and I know that Marty was going there, or Mr. Rogowski was going there, but we are not going to say that for budget, that the cost for this is a little bit higher than what we would normally do for specific kind of units. I mean, our average is $68,000, right? So we're above that number. And the question is, because of the additional consideration of doing the treatment facilities, did we talk to or request from the monitor additional credit for units? Because we have to have 750 credits. That doesn't mean we have to have 750 units, right?
That conversation, as you acknowledged, Chairman Jenkins, was last Friday. The funding advisory on this project was sent to the monitor on October 7th. And it was the second advisory to get this project approved, and they've acknowledged in their report that they're looking at it. At that point, we had not had that conversation. I did not raise in that letter the concept of getting more funding, or more credit based on the fact that it's a project that has greater infrastructure costs involved.
If you could, and I mean that would be something that again.
We'll discuss that.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So moved.
Any other comments by members of the committee?
The appraisal will be available at the budget committee meeting.
I think it's here.
I'm looking through it.
Yeah, I thought it was here.
Okay.
Good. All right. May I then have? We have three items before us. We have item number 3506, a capital budget amendment for Round Top. We have item 3508, a bond act, and item 3509, an act.
And also
and the secret. Resolution for secret.
And the secret is where? Not on the agenda.
It's
not on the agenda. I don't know why.
It's in the revised packet that we sent up.
All right, it's within the revised packet. So, on all these three, on these three items, noting that the seeker is involved, may I have a motion?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Jenkins, seconded by Mr. Rogowski. Thank you very much. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. We are concluded. Now we have a
seeker resolution.
The seeker. You want to do that separately? I thought it was included in one of the items that we had.
We said that it was included.
We
just put it in the package.
It's in the package.
It should be on your agenda. You should vote it out of committee also.
All right, then may I have a motion on the secret?
Mr. Chairman, I would first have an added starter for the secret that is part of the package, and I would then so move.
Okay. Ms. Williams?
Second.
Thank you very much. Any comment by members of the committee? All in favor then say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, which was just, and certainly again that we did note for the record that the expectation of that capital budget amendment, this is contingent upon that. I just want us to be that.
That's understood on the record, and Ms. Dodds has made extensive notes on this, as have Ms. DeLaw. Good morning.
Sorry. In terms of the capital budget amendment, that means we do have to go back to the county planning board because they need to make that recommendation as part of the capital projects. They raised it close to the timing issue.
Which are the board's meeting is November 8th. The board's meeting, board legislators meeting is on November 8th, where we would hope to be able to approve such thing. And I've always been advised by our acting commissioner of planning that if there was a need, I believe there's a planning board meeting before the 8th anyway, right? The 9th, so it's the 9th. But certainly, we got to do what we got to do, right? You know, if we need a call meeting to do that, I mean, we trust the commissioner would be able to have this because this is important to be able to get done. We're hopeful that the administration could pull it all together.
What's the closing date of the state?
December 8th.
I'm sure that if we need, we had other situations that came up, and quite frankly, I believe that based on our other HIF probe and new homes land projects that are going to be similarly situated with a timing issue, right, that we may have necessity to have that particular thing done for multiple.
We just want to put on the record that the closing from the state standpoint is December 8th.
That's fine.
You're right.
And you need it.
Thank you.
So because of this topic here, you need action prior, by November 8th.
On November. Okay. We have two items to receive and file. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Williams, second by Mr. Rogowski. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. Then we have the minutes of October 19th.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Jenkins, seconded by Ms. Myers, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion to adjourn.
Some of
them. Moved by Ms. Myers, seconded by Mr. Gaskey, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much for your time and your patience.
I think this was an extra. I had two of these. Okay.